Track 6. This is Brian Gall back at the Sports Desk, here to issue some candid advice to all my listeners. Do not pay any attention to my opinions or forecasts. Last week, covering the local football team, I was saying what a terrific run of victory Stourbridge are on, how they were in touch with the promotion playoffs, whereupon they not only lose their very next match, but are beaten out of sight. Then, when I was talking about the tennis, I just said that I had a feeling the British number one, Johanna Konta, might spring a surprise on Serena Williams in the Australian Open quarter-final. And, of course, she lost in straight sets. Actually, I'll start this week's sports news with the tennis. Watching the finals, you might have felt you were back in 2007, not 2017. Federer versus Nadal in the men's final. Surely they're not still battling it out after all those years. The Williams sisters still fighting it out over the ladies' championships. I thought they'd finished doing that years ago. Quite what the next generation of tennis stars, indeed you could even ask the next two generations, think of that, I do not know. Anyway, despite their years, Federer versus Nadal served up a sumptuous tennis feast on Sunday. Both men have been away from the tennis circuit for at least the last 6 months and more, but there was no sign of rustiness in their play. Their shot selection and execution was top-notch, at times absolutely sublime. The match contained five sets of superb tennis, the advantage switching first to one, then the other, with Federer, at the age of 35, just able to do enough to grasp the trophy one more time. Superb. As for Serena Williams, well, commentators are saying that she is the best female player ever. She doesn't move around the court much. She doesn't have to. She hits the ball so hard the opponent is put in such a state just to hit it back, there's usually no time to try and place the return shot to where Williams isn't within easy reach. I always used to think that Margaret Court was the best. Then I felt maybe Steffi Graf. Now I'm not so sure. As for her quarter-final when she defeated Konta, although the score was 6-2, 6-3 in Williams' favour, suggesting a whitewash, the actual match was a good deal closer than that. There were several long games and Jo Konta can hold her head up high. Back to the local news. As already mentioned, Stourbridge Football Club's winning run didn't so much grind to a halt as run full tilt into the buffers on Saturday in an away match at Sutton Coldfield. Maybe Glass Boys were missing their former colleagues who've moved on to higher things at other clubs in the last couple of weeks. I don't know, but they were certainly well short of their best. It was another former colleague, Sean Geddes, who used to be a favourite at the Memorial Ground, but now plays for Sutton, who was the first to put the boot in, with a successful penalty shortly after half-time. After that, the Stourbridge defence seems to have crumbled and three more goals were added by Sutton in the space of 20 minutes before Glass Boys managed a consolation just minutes from full-time. Let's hope this was just a blip. And not good news for the Stourbridge rugby team either. They travelled up to Harrogate on Saturday, hoping to keep alive their outside chance of featuring in the end-of-season promotion playoffs, but the match was lost by 19 points to 12, which pretty much puts any prospect of featuring in the playoffs out of court. I did not travel to watch this match, and by all accounts that was a wise decision. The game was stop-start, with defences on top, and a much-changed Stourbridge 15 from the week before never really got going. Both sides were on the scoreboard early on, a converted try apiece, but that finished the scoring for the first half. A defensive lapse allowed Harrogate in to score their second try, and the visitors' efforts to play catch-up thereafter were never really convincing. Still, Stourbridge did manage another try from a line-out close to their host's line, but they fell further behind when Harrogate registered their third, and Stourbridge were fortunate to come away in the end with a losing bonus point. An outcome that doesn't augur well for this coming Saturday's visit to Stourton Park by Sale, the team in second place in Division 2 North League table. Despite my loyalty to Stourbridge Rugby, I will be severely torn when that match takes place on Saturday by the fact that Scotland are playing Ireland at Murrayfield at the same time in the opening match of this year's Six Nations tournament. Yes, that's round again and promises a rugby feast over the next 7 weeks. Most pundits seem to believe England will reign as champions, although Ireland also have their proponents, whilst as a Scottish supporter I am supposed to be grateful for any crumbs that fall my way. England's Six Nations campaign begins later on Saturday afternoon when France visit Twickenham, whilst the remaining two competitors, Italy and Wales, meet on Sunday. There are bound to be some shocks along the way before the competition ends in March, and I'll bring you a summary of the opening round of matches next week. Coming back to our local rugby teams for a moment, there must have been a tri-fest at Stourton Park last Saturday when the Stourbridge Lions slaughtered Shrewsbury by 41 points to nil. I haven't seen a report on this one yet, but the victory maintains the Lions' position at the top of their league. There was a good win at the weekend as well for Dudley Kings Winford Rugby by 24 points to 8 at Crewe and Nantwich, and DK are back up to fourth place in the Midlands 1 West Division. But what about Wolves on Saturday? That was a stunning 2-1 away win in the Cup at Liverpool, which ensures Wolves a fifth-round tie against Chelsea at Molineux. That they would make it into the fifth round was already on the cards after just 53 seconds, the moment when Richard Stearman's header from a free kick rocketed into the Liverpool net. Liverpool, as is the habit with so many of the Premier League sides left in the Cup, had put out an 11 comprising numerous players who are not first-team regulars. They think the Premier League campaign, especially the vast amount of money to be gained by finishing in the top four places and thus qualifying for the Champions League, is more important. And they were made to pay for that as Wolves ran them ragged during the first half and had a two-goal advantage by the interval. During the second half, much of the pressure was at the other end as Liverpool at times had the Wolves' goal under siege, but they couldn't find the net until the 86th minute, and by then it was too late. Chelsea at the moment look to be running away with the Premier League title, so when the fifth round of the Cup takes place, it will be like old times at Molineux, Wolves meeting the best in the land. Takes you back. I am going to be in need of a time shift this coming weekend. I was talking last week about staying up late on Sunday to watch the Super Bowl, the climax to the American football season, when the match in Houston, Texas, between the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots doesn't start until nearly midnight our time. But that's not all. The weekend also features the opening round of the 2017 Davis Cup tennis, and Team GB are due to face Canada in Ottawa. The matches on Friday through Sunday will also be played in a time zone several hours behind ours. You may well have a report from a bleary-eyed correspondent next week. Team GB are going to be without Andy Murray, still recovering from his exploits at the Australian Open. But whereas even just a couple of years ago a team without Murray was almost certainly destined for defeat, now, thanks to the emergence of Kyle Edmund and Dan Evans, that's no longer the case. The Canadian team are also below max strength, as Milos Raonic is taking a break and is not in the side. Edmund and Evans will handle the single matches in this time, while our doubles pairing will be Jamie Murray and Dominic Inglot. I expect it will be close. Close could also be used to describe the climax to England's second 2020 match against India at Nagpur on Sunday. On a slow pitch with a huge outfield, England had won the toss and invited the Indian 11 to bat first, and probably felt justified in that decision when they restricted their opponents to a total of 144 for 8, Rahul being their top scorer with 71. Just how difficult it was to score quickly was shown by the fact that only 4 sixes and 8 fours were recorded throughout the entire innings. England, in reply, found scoring just as difficult. After losing a couple of early wickets, skipper Morgan and Joe Root tried to nudge the scoreboard along, but it was only when Stokes came to the wicket that England got up to around the required scoring rate. He was the one man who, with his great strength and clunking bat, looked as though he could win the match, and when he was out LBW, equal top scorer with Root on 38, the task became just too great. Mind you, Root given out LBW with the score on 137 was shown by the TV cameras later to have touched the ball with his bat and shouldn't have been dismissed, but whether that made all the difference we'll never know. As it was, England finished the match 5 runs short of their target, making the series score 1-1. And the final 2020 match is due to be played today, Wednesday. And now for a sport I do not often mention. But for an invitation to dinner to celebrate the Chinese New Year on Saturday, I had intended to travel over to Coventry to watch the Blaze, their ice hockey team, against the side from my home city, the Edinburgh Capitals. Probably just as well I went to the meal, as Capitals were defeated 4-1. I really do enjoy ice hockey, and I regret it's not a sport that enjoys more exposure. For pace and excitement, thrills and spills, you can't beat it. But I think you do need to watch it live. It doesn't translate to the television screen very well, and the Coventry Arena is the nearest place where you can watch professional teams in action. A friend of mine asked me to go with him to a match in Edinburgh when I was about 15, and I was hooked right away. Despite that comfortable win on Saturday, Coventry are not enjoying a very good season and are currently eighth in the 10-team elite league in this country. The teams are usually made up of a mix of Canadians, Europeans, who tend to be from Sweden or the Czech Republic, in both of which there's a big following for ice hockey, plus a few Brits who are able to make the grade. It's a family-friendly sport. You see lots of mums and dads with their kids at matches in this country, and in spite of the mayhem and extreme physical combat out on the ice, you rarely encounter swearing or trouble in the crowd. I should make a Chinese New Year resolution to go and watch matches at Coventry more often. But meanwhile, that's all we've got time for this week. I'll be back with reports on the action next time, especially on the Six Nations rugby, the Davis Cup tennis, and of course the local action and results. But until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.